Welcome to the Sportscast. September 20th, 2018, football is underway. College football is in week three. Week three has finished for college football. Week two has finished for the NFL. And the biggest news of the week, I think, is Josh Gordon traded to the Patriots for a fifth-round pick. And to join us to talk to us about that is Ryan Krista. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, thanks, Santiago, for having me. Glad to be here. We're talking sports with you, especially this time of year.
Yes. One of the things that I've noticed this week was the biggest news of Josh Gordon. Were you surprised? Why did Cleveland do this? Will this help out the Patriots?
Oh, you know, this is it's kind of not a big gamble for the Patriots. It's just an Olympic, you know. The Browns wanted to get something for him, so it's better than nothing. But, you know, the Patriots have gone through a lot, and he's been very successful. And the Browns kind of gave him every chance. You know, they pretty much let him skip training camp so he could stay and, you know, rehab, you know, when he comes back, you know, and they're suspicious of this hamstring injury he's saying he's got. And all of a sudden he gets traded to the Patriots and he's ready to play healthy. So it's kind of a little mysterious for me, but the Browns are giving him every opportunity and I think they're just ready to move on, you know. This new GM here, you know, the Browns, John Dorsey, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, you know. I think he's putting together a pretty darn good football team, you know, that's ready to get some wins this year. And they're not gonna, you know, just take crap from anybody. But in the same sense, you know, could this be another Randy Moss here, you know, troubled wide receiver goes to the Patriots and turns his career around?
Yeah, was letting go of Amendola like a big deal? Do you think that was a big hole that they had to fill?
I think that, you know, Amendola is a very talented wide receiver, you know, Patriots. I don't know if he was ever the player they thought he was going to be when he signed with them. You know, it just seems like the Patriots, you know, they're kind of arrogant and cocky in the way that, you know, they think they can take anybody who to play wide receiver. And that's probably true because you got the greatest, you know, quarterback to go back there, number 12. So you just need the right players and the right, you know, who fits their system. And that's kind of why they go through so many wide receivers, you know, looking for that. You know, the unselfish guy, you know, who, you know, willing to do the little things. Kind of like a Julian Edelman, you know, out there. Wes Welker, you might say.
Yeah, very similar players, short and stout. Here are the 2-0 teams that are in the league right now. Here are the teams that are 2-0, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Rams, and the Buccaneers. There is a statistic where it says if you're 2-0, you have a 62% chance making the playoffs. How do you see these teams? Are they a weak 2-0 teams, or they're well deserved to be one of the best in the league?
Like any start of any season, you know, we look at the wins and losses in this segment very closely. It's important to get off to a good start, but you know. You take a 1-1 Eagles team, you know, they look shaky against the Falcons, didn't play good against the Buccaneers, but now they get their starting quarterback back. So you look at that team, and they might be, you know, 1-1, but they're a good 1-1. You kind of take a look at, you know, the Dolphins, you know, look at the Jets as a 1-1 team, you know, they played a bad Lions team that we're finding out, and play the Dolphins, you know, it's all in the perspective, you know, you can take some out of these beginning of the season, but you can't, you know, just because you start 2-0 doesn't mean you're going to be a great team. And if you're 0-2, it's not time to go crazy, you know, but it's important to get off to get started, get a lot of positive momentum going, but it, you know, doesn't make you a playoff team, and it, you know, it also doesn't guarantee your success for the season, but, you know, it's important to get off to a good start.
So Patrick Mahomes had a great start these past two games. He threw for 326 yards, against the Steelers, and he's doing a lot for that age of 22. Do you think he is the future star quarterback of the NFL?
You talk a wonderful start there, Santiago. You know, what he's done this year is nothing short of, you know, awesome, you know, unprecedented, you know. It's kind of goes back, you know, it's twofold, you know. He's a very talented quarterback, played in, you know, pass-friendly offense in college, put up monster stats. Then comes to the NFL, you know, and the Chiefs have pretty much built their team, you know, like a college offense. You know, they're spreading it out. They, you know, they're throwing the ball all around. It's Andy Reid is, you know, through the years has been able to kind of change his football changes. You know, he's showing that he's not just a great play caller, probably the best play caller in the NFL for sure. I know. I think one of the other people who do the sportscast is a really huge Chiefs fan. You know, and is it Jeff? Is that his name?
That is correct.
But yeah, you know, as a, you know, fellow Bronco, you know, as a Broncos fan, you know, I'm it's not looking good for the future of the Broncos, and you got to go against Patrick Mahomes, you know, twice a year.
The Broncos are 2-0. They defeated the Raiders 20-19, and they defeated the Seahawks 27-24. How do you see Case Keenum working out with the Broncos?
You know, last week was a weird game in Santiago. You know, they're terrible in the first half. The Raiders just take it to them. You know, the Raiders score right, you know, right before the half and make it 12-0. The Broncos, you know, I haven't heard much about it, but they block an extra point right before half, make it 12-0. You know, end up coming out in the second half, you know, and they're able to have a balanced offensive effort, running and passing, and, you know, being able to get out a 2019 victory because they're able to block that extra point was the difference. But Case Keenum, you know, like the rest of the Broncos often struggled in the first half, but, you know, they got their rhythm going in the second half, and they made plays in the game-winning drive when they had to. You know, it's easy, you know, that's when you take a look at the start. They're 2-0, but both teams are home. You know, last year they started 2-0 and ended up with 5 wins. So we'll see, you know. I don't want to jump to, you know, any conclusions saying they're a great team. But, you know, going cross-country against Baltimore this week will be a great test for this team.
Very much so. Speaking about other quarterbacks, Fitzmagic, do you think he'll be keeping that starting role if he, you know, keeps going how he's going?
You know, I was telling you last week when we talked to pump the brakes. But, you know, it's hard to pump the brakes when he has two really great, you know, just not good games, but great games. You know, this is what this guy does, you know. Comes out of nowhere when you least expect it, you know, and produces. You know, he's got the ultimate stage this week, Monday Night Football against the Steelers. So if they win the game and he plays good, how can you bench the guy?
I agree.
If you talk
to,
you know, people before the year, you know, most people, you know, handicapped his team at 0-3 because of, you know, Jameis Winston being out.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep him playing even after the 4-game suspension unless he keeps winning. I mean, unless he loses. If he loses a game, then maybe switch it. But it depends how bad the loss is or how the game went. But obviously, if you go 6-0 or go 7-0 but lose that one game, make it 7-1, I'll still keep starting him, you know, unless he goes like 2 consecutive losses or 3 or something goes really bad. But I'll definitely give Fitzpatrick, you know, Fitzmagic. He's definitely has experience in the NFL, and he just, you know, shows up. He just never did it with the Jets.
Yeah, you know, he got him to the cusp of making the playoffs, you know, but it just seems like, is this typical of Fitzpatrick when he was in Buffalo? You know, he came out of nowhere, you know, got a pretty good contract, goes to the Jets, gets another good contract, leads him to the cusp of last. But, you know, it's kind of his trademark is, you know, he gets you close, but, you know, he kind of proves why he's always been a backup quarterback because he just can't win those big games. But, you know, best of luck to Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers, see what happens.
Indeed, it is, and with Mike Evans in my in my fantasy, the team is looking good, and we'll see how far can the Magic go. Fitzmagic can go. But anyways, college football. Let's look at the top 25 this week. Alabama, number one. Georgia, number two. Number three, Clemson. Four, Ohio State. Fifth, Oklahoma. Six, LSU. Seven, Stanford. Eighth, Notre Dame. Ninth, Auburn. And 10th, Washington. How do you see the top 10?
It just seems like every week Alabama just keeps on getting better and better. It's just hard, and you watch the rest of the team not to see this team losing. But, you know, Georgia's keeps trucking. They got big game against Missouri this week, to kind of, against another SEC East contender. But Alabama, they got Texas A&M coming to town. But I was just so impressed with Alabama last week. 62-7, fall behind 7-0 within a minute of the game, and then they just respond and just curve stomp the Rebels the rest of the game. That's a good offense. I wasn't worried about Alabama's offense. I think Tua was great. But Alabama's young secondary, I was worried for them going against a high-powered Rebels offense. But they shut them down, and They showed why they're the number one team in the country. And then Georgia, like I said, is playing great. Ohio State withstood a great test from TCU. I think most people are more impressed by how good TCU is than how, Ohio State made plays they needed to win the game. But I was very impressed with that TCU team. They're fast.
Go ahead, Santiago. Probably the biggest matchup, which I think you're in go to, was LSU-Auburn. LSU jumped to 6. It feels like LSU was underrated, and I think if they could beat Alabama, they could become number one.
Yeah. They're kind of the Ronnie Dangerfield right now. They keep on winning, and no one really cares too much about it. That was a great come-from-behind victory this week in Auburn, which might be the best victory of any team in college football this year so far. When you weigh in the stage and the venue and go on the road in the SEC West, it's pretty hard to get a road victory. But I think, that if you look at their schedule, there's no way they're going to be able to keep this up for the rest of the year. I still think they're going to have a great season, but a great season just might be 9-3 for the Tigers.
Very, very impressive by LSU. We'll see what happens. Their next game, I believe their next biggest game is against Alabama in a few weeks. So we'll see.
But you got to look at this guy. LSU, they still got games against. They got to go to Florida.
Yeah.
To Georgia. Home against Alabama. Home against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tough games ahead for
the
Tigers team.
And if they can beat them all, they're for sure number one.
If they win them all, San Diego, they're going to the SEC championship. But, all roads to Atlanta and the SEC West go through Tuscaloosa, Alabama for sure.
NBA, Butler wants to go to the Clippers. Why does he want to leave? He keeps leaving from Chicago to Minnesota. Now he wants to go to the L.A. What's his deal?
The Timberwolves just can't buy a break here. They've had a lot of years of struggle. They drafted, Karl-Anthony Towns. They got Andrew Wiggins. They think they're building this great team last year. They're bringing Jimmy Butler. And it did, they made it to the playoffs, but I think anybody who watched the Timberwolves last year understood last year was kind of a failure for this team. They just didn't gel. Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins are kind of similar players. Now there's disagreement between Jimmy Butler and Anthony Towns. There's this notion that Karl-Anthony Towns isn't going to sign a long-term deal unless Jimmy Butler goes. So it's just it's a lot of confusion. Ownership is regretting kind of giving Tom Thibodeau the power to make his own roster move. So. And let me just say this, Santiago. Every team that kind of has their coach, try to bring in a big name coach to have them be the coach and the GM, i.e., Doc Rivers, Stan Van Gundy. It just burns up. you know, let the coaches coach, bring in GMs to be GMs. You know, when you give coaches too much power, you know, it just never seems to work out.
Yeah, it's never worked out. Just leave the positions on your own. Focus on coaching. Of course, have the GM and coaching be on, like, the same page in a way, like, you know, same vision.
Oh, well, yes, they should be on the same page, you know, but it just seems like whenever I see this, you know, that you try to learn these coaches, you know, how are you going to get a good name coach to go to Minnesota? You got to give them, you got to give them power, they say. How are you going to get Tom Thibodeau? You know, Tom Thibodeau isn't going to leave ESPN in this nice comfy chair to coach. To be just a coach of Tim Wolves, I think, and, you know, I got, you know, if we give him power, he's going to come and coach, you know, and he's got, but it just seems to backfire. Now, I think they got still some talent on the team, you know, they can still contend for the bottom, you know, the playoff bracket in the West, but without, you know, they're not going to give up on this Jimmy Butler trade unless they absolutely have to, but it doesn't look good for them right now. But in return, if the Clippers can be able to get him, you know, what a great, you know, great addition to that team, you know.
Yeah. But like you say, Towns is definitely the future of the club. So I'll definitely have, you know, give him more leverage than Butler.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's what they got to look. You know, Butler's 32 years old and Towns is 25, so.
All right, ready for some predictions.
Let's go.
Texas A&M versus Alabama.
You know, this is a rematch. You know, well, they played before, but, you know, if you remember, Jimbo Fisher was once Nick Saban's offensive coordinator at LSU. You know, they've become very good friends. Now they're in the same division in the SEC, you know, Texas A&M paying Jimbo Fisher a lot of money to kind of dethrone the evil umpire known as Alabama football. But it's not going to happen today. It may not happen next year, but 2 years on the road, the way Texas A&M is recruiting, this game will be the marquee game again in college football, and especially in the SEC. So, but when it comes to Saturday, roll tide, big.
Stanford versus Oregon.
Well, you know, I'm sure you're going to go pretty deep here soon with Ty Turner on this game, but I'll let him dig into that. But I'll give you my prediction. I think Oregon wins in a closely contested battle.
And Florida versus Tennessee.
Yeah, just as I was talking about Texas A&M and Alabama being the game in the SEC, when I was growing up, you kind of, third Saturday in September, you know, or this is where the, you know, this is CBS 330, you know where to find, you know which game was going to be in. It was going to be Florida and Tennessee, and the winner of that game was going to win the SECs. You know, ties have turned, both programs hired new coaches this year. You know, this is an important game because both teams won. You know, without winning this game, it's going to be a long year because they just don't have the necessary talent to compete, you know, with the other teams in the conference. So it's important that, you know, for both these teams to get this victory this year because it's important for recruiting because that's, you know, the lifeblood of any college football team. But, you know, I'm true to the orange and blue of Santiago, so go Gators.
Jets versus Browns.
Oh, I remember telling you 2 weeks ago this is a night Cleveland, Ohio will be excited because the Browns will get their first victory. This team should be 2-0, Santiago. They should have beat the Steelers in overtime, and they should have won last week. But they, you know, their kicker didn't, their kicker didn't have a pulled hamstring and didn't tell anybody during the game. But, you know, I think they dominate the Jets tonight. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game, but, you know, I think they'll win by at least 10 points.
Cowboys versus Seahawks.
This is interesting. This could be, you know, the Seahawks, we're talking about 0-2 teams. They're desperate. I don't think either team is really that great. Two teams that have pretty bad offensive lines right now. I think this could be an ugly game. But, you know, I think desperation win and the Seahawks win in a, you know, a brutal, you know, 13-10 type game.
The Patriots versus the Lions.
Teacher versus student in Santiago. I told you the Lions are a bad team. The Patriots are pretty mad about what happened in Jacksonville last week. It's, you know, it's going to get ugly.
Must win for both, I guess.
Yeah, it's a must win for the Lions. I think they're just not a very good team. Not many people knew that, but you watch them, they just don't. They don't look like the Lions you've seen the last couple of years. Maybe Jim Caldwell, you know, wasn't that bad of a coach.
So who do you think is going to win?
I think the Patriots win big.
Broncos versus the Rams.
Ravens?
No. Oh, Ravens. My bad. Not yet Rams. That's coming, but
yeah,
the Ravens.
I still think they play on the very soon the Rams, but you know, just like I told you, I'm true to the orange of blue of Florida. I'm true to the orange of crush of them. But, you know, in a closely contested game, I think the Broncos become 3-0.
You think the Ravens' defense are still good?
They're not the Ravens of 2000, if you ask, but or even when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. But, you know, this defense is, you know, it's an above-average defense for sure. They struggled mightily last week against Andy Dalton on Thursday night, but they had a week and a half to prepare for the Broncos. That's it, you know, it's going to be a good game, you know, could go either way, but, you know, I'll be cheering hard for the Broncos.
Steelers versus the Bucks, Monday Night Football.
It's magic, right, Santiago?
It's magic.
You against him, you know? Now, I think the Buccaneers go to 3-0. The Steelers have a laundry list of internal issues to deal with. You know, I just, you know, this is a make-or-break game for the Steelers. If this doesn't go their way, you know, their season could really blow up.
Do you think, here's my, I want to hear your thoughts. Here are my top two teams. I mean, well, my top team in the NFC are the Rams, and my top team in the AFC is the Jags. Can you concur with that?
You're completely right. The two most talented teams, I think, in the NFL. The difference is the Rams, I think, have much better quarterback play, but they both have, you know, star-studded defenses. It takes a lot to score on each of those teams. You know, like I told you, the Rams are built for this year. They are going to collapse here in a couple of years because of the salary cap issues. They've got all these players signed to humongous deals that they can't afford to pay because of the salary cap. But they want to win now, and I think they're going to. That's that. You know, I would be very surprised if the Rams aren't playing in the Super Bowl this year.
And there you have it, Ryan Krista. How can people reach you?
Check me out on Twitter, the Mad Dog Report. You know, I'm always tweeting, you know, a little Liberty football, Gators football, Broncos. But, you know, San Diego, our Liberty Flames hosting the Mean Green of North Texas this week. Big game for us.
Yes, who's going to win that one?
I think Liberty will have to play the game of their lives to compete. This is a North Texas team that just beat an SEC team on the road by, you know, 30 points. We could be in for a long day.
It should be good. How's Liberty doing so far, being in like the single A?
It's just, you know, they got that opening day victory against Old Dominion and then struggled against Army last week, fell to them. But, you know, then they were hurricaned out last week. So this is really their third game. But this is by far, you know, the best ever football team to play in at Liberty this week. You know, of all the good teams that come and play Liberty, this is by far the best team to ever come to Liberty.
Low expectations, right?
Yeah. And I might say the best ever team to come to Liberty might be in a couple weeks when the Troy Trojans come to town.
So that's right. Which Troy, you know, beat Nebraska or someone not too long ago?
Yeah, you know, this is, yeah, the last the Troy University is definitely a giant killer for sure, right? If you remember last year, this is the team that went down to Baton Rouge and beat LSU. So it'll definitely be a tough game.
Well, sports keeps going; it makes the world go round. If you want to, you know, take a vacation from work or vacation from anything, from life, sports is a good distraction. It's an entertainment,
exactly, you know,
but it does well. But anyways, Ryan, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Cassandra. Thank you very much. I love you, Monique. Bye-bye.